So I thought that was pretty good too. Uh-oh, are you still there? Is our connection so bad?
No, actually, it was not our connection. Sorry, I forgot to unmute myself. I had like an insane coughing attack that lasted 2 minutes straight.
Oh, no.
Like as soon as we hit record, I just got that like terrible tickle in my throat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no.
You're like,
like out of nowhere. Like I haven't been having that at all, right? And then just suddenly it's like, oh, you're about to record. Okay. Insane cough attack.
Are you okay?
So that was I forgot to. I think I'm okay now. I chugged a bunch of water. So
I was just enjoying
the sounds of Paul McCartney and George Harrison while I was chugging down a bunch of water, trying to keep my throat at bay.
Well, thankfully I recorded this so you can enjoy it in the future.
Yes.
So, let's see, where are we with this? We are talking about, well, you're listening to Land and Nation. We're clearly going to be talking about, not even clearly to just audio listeners, that we're talking about Highway to Heaven and It's Time in a Bottle. And it aired on January 20th, 1988.
It's just season 4, episode 15.
Yeah, so
this is like later Highway to Heaven.
So you mentioned that there's an ending to this that is not on the copy that I had sent you. And I sent you a copy that's also on YouTube that's like semi-official. It's from the like Highway to Heaven full episodes, which is, I believe, a Film Rise. I think Film Rise owns the rights.
Okay.
And apparently they edited some, like every episode, I think. I don't know if they did, but somebody did. And you can purchase Highway to Heaven, the unedited versions. There's another DVD set, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that the particular edit that they made is terrible because it totally changes the episode. Like, it's like the big takeaway basically at the end that they totally took out.
So if you want the version that's unedited, I believe it's from a company called Mill Creek, and I'm looking it up right now. This one even has, I'm going to just bring it to the screen. So this is the complete and uncut version, and this is, they cost more because it's like $20 for just season one. But these are the unedited versions, so maybe we should even put it on hold until we acquire these, you know, because yeah.
Well, like,
do you want to just tell the ending?
Well, I mean, I guess, and kind of like when we get to the ending after we do the thing, it'll maybe make more sense. But basically like at the end, I mean, so this is like another episode, which is, kind of featuring, you know, like featuring homeless characters, which we have a few episodes of Highway to Heaven that do that, and really kind of advocating on, like we had talked, I think, that we had released on, cause it was pre Land and Nation Day. So I think on, Water Grove Cast or maybe Bonnet Heads. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still together or separate. I forget what.
I don't remember either. No.
If you had merged them or anything, but, with the one with Dick Van Dyke where, you know, he's a homeless character. And,
right.
Like, okay, so then they're, like, kind of, but I think the episodes really are kind of, you know, advocating for the welfare of homeless people and also taking, like, sympathetic views of kind of, like, this could happen to anyone. Like, if anyone is, like, in the right set of circumstances, you know, like, this could happen to you.
And it even gets hinted in the beginning that, you know, remember the guy's like, you know, keep this. You likely need it more than I do. I mean,
right?
It's a little bit of
right. That's true. But anyway, so then like the premise on this episode, you know, when they're trying to kind of clear out this area of town and kind of drive the homeless people out, and then tragedy ensues, and then the lawyer who is kind of like, you know, really pushing to get the area cleared out of homeless people ends up being homeless herself at the end.
But that's not on the version I have.
Yeah, which is crazy because that I think is like the big takeaway of the episode, right? Is it's like, you know, like if you,
yeah, that would be a very powerful
kind of like when we talked about the Wally episode, where it's kind of like if you like have, if any circumstances in your life were different, like this could have been you. So whether it's like, you know, maybe something tragic happened like from your childhood,
right?
That maybe set you on like a path, or maybe there's like an addiction, which could also be related to like some sort of trauma that you had. Just like anything like that. Like if something different happened in your life, like that could have been you. And then in this episode at the very end, we have the lady who had been like this well-to-do lawyer woman who was like prosecuting all these homeless people. She ends up being homeless herself,
which
I was like, yeah, that is like the point of the episode basically.
Yeah. And it's just not there. It's crazy.
Yeah, which is totally crazy.
Yeah, so we have to figure out what's up with all that. It is bizarre.
But it's weird because when this is on like on Pluto TV on the drama channel, they changed the name. It's called Feel Good Drama now. It used to be called something else. Anyway, they show Highway to Heaven on there.
Yeah.
And I've seen this episode on Pluto when it's showing on their like live channel thing, and the ending was there.
So it must be like, there must be like some like type of rights.
It is out there because I've only ever streamed Highway to Heaven or like watched it on Pluto, and I remembered the ending. Like I knew it was there because then on the copy you sent me, I was like, what happened? Like, where is she homeless at the end?
Well, it changes the whole dynamic of the episode. It really does. You know, like she has to be homeless in order for this to be a very powerful episode.
Right, exactly.
So
weird. I just think it's like of all the things you could have edited, that is just the craziest edit to make.
Yeah, it's like the worst. Like, yeah, take out anything else. Shorten the intro.
Yeah.
It's a minute and 40 seconds, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's
I know. It is really long. I know. It is really long.
So, yeah, we open up where we have a pale brunette woman. And she's hailing a cab. These guys look super sketchy, too.
Excuse me. You got any...
Get away from me.
All I was asking was for some change. Yeah, how about I do a little dance for you, huh?
That's the worst coat I've ever seen. That, I mean, it looks like a cannonball went through it.
Right.
So he does a very... We learn later he's Native American. So that makes it okay for him to act like this, I guess. I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I still feel like this is one of those things that would not show up in TV today.
No, not at all. This is like right there with Seinfeld when they get the wooden Indian. And
the cigar store Indian?
Yeah. And Kramer's doing this out the window.
All right, Humphrey. Relax, lady. He won't hurt you.
You bet your life he won't.
I don't think she has time for you, Humphrey. Looks to me like she's just blown all of her change on a $200 pair of shoes.
They're being pretty creepy, I think. You know, like looking.
They are kind of harassing her a bit. Yeah.
And peeking at her stuff.
I mean, they are acting kind of inappropriately. And if they're, I really understand, like, if their thing is that they want to get, whether it's like money or they just want to get booze from her or whatever the deal is, it's weird to think that you could, like, act that way and someone would give you something.
I mean, and of course we're to assume that maybe they're drunk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's really very good.
Excuse me?
The good cop, bad cop routine. Your friend hits me up for money, gets me upset, and then you come to my rescue. Here.
She offers a dollar.
Keep it, lady. I got a feeling you might need it more than me.
She's like, I didn't really think you'd say that. But Humphrey's
like... what is the deal? So, I mean, like, when they kind of are acting that way, and then when he's all like, oh, I don't want your money. Because she kind of gave them a hard time, but, like, you were totally giving her a hard time.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, you can't take...
And now you're, like, insulted that she's giving you money, but it's kind of like you did kind of start the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. Stupid Matt.
Hey.
Oh, and then also the woman I put out in the notes is totally like the Great Value brand, Lillen. Lillith Sternin. I was like combining that. Lillen. I was taking like Lillith and Sternin and making it one word. She's Lillen.
But she does. She looks exactly like that. And, you know, her look looks good with that crazy red, you know. She looks kind of like a White Stripes album cover.
No.
But the way he snatches the dollar, I didn't care for. You know, like she's looking away.
More than me.
Yeah.
The way Humphrey does.
Hey. Don't pay any attention to him, lady. He's got these weird standards, you know.
He's like, I have no standards. So, should I play that song? Don't know where to put it in. I could start the whole episode.
You can just like randomly play it now, or we could do it at the end.
All right, here it is. Oh wait, is this the wrong one? This is the wrong one. Yeah, this is the wrong one. This is the version where I was like, I can't understand what he's saying until like later. This is a Michael Landon rock song, I guess. Hold on, I'm sorry. It's like just talk amongst yourselves. I'm like scrolling and scrolling for this. Bum, bum, bum. You're very important to us. Please wait on the line.
Chateau Band.
Your call. I could do that. Your call is very important to us. I can't find it in the thing. I don't know. I'll search for it and we'll throw it in.
I'll try to locate it for you. We'll throw it in at the end.
All right. Let's get back to the show. Sorry about that. A couple of minutes and never come back to your life. So, let's see. Mark and Jonathan are hanging out, just kind of observing from a distance.
Hey, Maddie. Look. Huh?
Right there. Our assignment?
Just one of them. One called Matthew.
But you said there was two.
That's right. She's the other one.
So that is very important, right? It kind of connects the ending that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't because they had to edit it out.
Although, but then also it's like when that's like, that's our mission or like part of it. So this is actually something I was thinking about too. So like at the end, when she becomes homeless, which when you see anyone who's seen the unedited one, when she becomes homeless at the end. So it's like, she was part of the mission. So does that mean that like part of the mission was essentially that she would end up homeless? I mean, because like the way that it plays out, which we'll get into it, is then when Humphrey kills himself and then she quits her job.
Right.
And then she's homeless after that. And that's kind of, if that is like the other part of the mission, that's kind of weird in a way. Because it's, I mean, it's like really vengeful on her.
Yeah, because her life's going to go down the tubes.
Right. So it's like part of the mission is to like ruin her life, which is like kind of, you know, like for this show, it almost seems like there could have been like a second part or like a second, like a related episode where she then is the main mission and it's like about turning things around and then like, you know, making her like an advocate for like homeless people or something. Right. So like that's kind of weird that,
yeah, it's very
the other part of the mission.
It's not very angel-y. So here we are, kind of counting change.
You don't get some more change pretty soon. We're going to have to go down to the mission and sit through one of the Reverend's sermons.
At least we got a dollar from that cranky lady, huh?
Up to me. I'd rather listen to the Reverend.
Yeah, he really disliked Lilith.
What did he say, fellas?
Yeah. Lilin.
Lilin, yeah.
So, I've been better. Me and my partner bumped into hard times. You know what I'm saying? Can you help us out?
What do you mean, with a job?
Yeah, I didn't say I was desperate, old timer.
Old timer?
Well, a couple of dollars will do it.
Hey, look, I can do better than that.
All right.
My friend and I will buy you and your partner dinner. What do you say?
Humphrey, run for your life. They're social workers.
I thought that was a funny line.
Well, you got something against a free meal?
Hey, look, old timer. I can get all the food I need in the trash cans. I wanted a drink.
Well, you're not going to get it from me.
Oh, Humphrey, we're wasting our time with these guys.
No, wait.
These guys are filthy. They're just so dirty.
Oh. I got
nothing. We probably haven't bathed in who knows how long.
Well, Matt looks like he's just took shoe shine and smeared it all over his face.
How about you two do-gooders take us to the nearest bar and fill us full of booze, and then maybe we can discuss dinner.
It's also weird that we do learn he's Native American, he's from the reservation, and mm-hmm. I don't know, that's kind of a weird stereotype to throw out there. I mean, I don't know. It seems like there's a couple of things they could have edited out, like maybe that mention.
Well, I mean, it does.
I mean, if you're going to offend
like that, the alcoholic, you know, Native American from the reservation is like a bit of a stereotype, but then at the same time, he does kind of go into like what things were like on the reservation, which kind of explains why, you know, a lot of people who live on the reservations develop, you know, drinking problems and like other addictions because of how bad the conditions are, basically. I mean, just like the social conditions and like your kind of like, you know, outlook and stuff.
And depressing. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those, you know, really depressing type of things. We're in, you think this guy's first name is Three Wheeler?
Three Wheeler.
I don't know. T Wheeler Judge. Let's see. We're in court and, yeah, you called this guy out from the Money Crop episode of Little House. I didn't really recognize him at all.
His Councilman Peterson. Yeah, so like Alan Fudge is the actor, and he's in another Highway to Heaven episode as well.
I wish his name was Alan Fudge here. It's a funny name.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
Tasty.
Tasty. Fudgy.
Oh, that reminds me. I bought Rolos today.
Oh, really?
The other night.
That's hilarious.
I was like, Rolos would be good.
I'll take a roll of Rolos.
Speaking of fudge.
How are they? Or how are they?
They were good. They were good. As good as I remembered.
Nice. If not better.
Yeah, but Alan Fudge, of course. When I first saw him on Highway, I was like, oh, you're like the Money Crop guy.
Money Crop.
Yeah. That was a really great episode of Little House. I like that episode.
Yeah, Money Crop's great.
I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
National institution. This court is adjourned.
This poor guy.
Bye.
Exactly. Come with me. Bye. Yeah, there he is.
Ms. Reynolds.
Yes?
My name's Alan Peterson. I wanted
of
to thank
you. Of course, Councilman Peterson, 4th District. How
Fudgy the Whale.
How are you?
Just fine. That was a nice job.
Piece of cake. Anyone could see the man was a menace to society.
Well, I doubt that anyone could make Judge Wheeler throw the book at him. I'm looking for someone to assist me in a project that is vitally important to this area.
Those glasses are just incredible. Right? It's...
Would you be interested?
All according to what it is.
Well, why don't we meet for drinks later and discuss it?
Why don't we?
She's like, yeah, I got a flask on me right now. Why don't we just go and, you know, spike the coffee?
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, that's like another kind of thing that they're kind of pointing out in this episode is that she's all like, oh, they're just like a bunch of, you know, booze hounds, basically. Right. But then it's like we're always seeing her drinking.
Right. But because she has like, you know, money in her bank account.
A job. And, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, they're at the bar. We do learn that she's a whiskey drinker, so I'm assuming she's having whiskey. He's having the tiniest martini I've ever seen.
I have never liked whiskey.
No? I just don't like...
I mean, I'm not really into hard alcohol. Like, I've just never really liked the taste. Although, like, things like martinis I do like here and there.
Yeah, like a vodka martini that's made dirty, like with 35 olives in it.
Yeah, exactly. I've, like, just dumped a whole jar of olives in. It's like, I'll take a jar of olives with a little bit of vodka.
Right, there you go. That's the way to do it. But a dirty martini is the way to go if you're going to get something like this. Gin, I think, is disgusting. So, personally,
I don't like gin either. I thought it tasted like I was eating flowers.
It smells like grass to me, and I got sick on it when I was younger. And I just, you know, when you get sick on something, you can never go back, it seems.
Right.
Let's see. She's having eczema. Do you remember? I don't know. Is that like something that you remember from your childhood?
It was that 90s thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not from your childhood, but, you know, from when you were younger. I think eczema definitely predates you.
Well, there was a pack of it at a grocery store by our house a few years ago.
Yeah.
We're like, they have a pack of Zima here. And it was there for kind of a long time, actually. It was like one lone pack of Zima. It was really weird.
Zima. Yeah. Zima, it's basically like wine coolers. That's all it is. But yeah, they're talking about I'm just going to play their thing. He's a councilman. And
I'm very excited about the prospect of working with you.
Maybe you'd better be more specific.
In what way?
For instance, just how do I fit in?
Now, my district includes this so-called Skid Row area. I need someone to help me clean it up. And the first order of business is to get the winos.
That music is crazy.
It is. It's like...
out of the area.
I agree. But where do we send them? What happens to them down the line?
It's like, it's weird elevator music.
It's not my problem. As long as they are not in my district, I don't care what happens. So.
It's like the most generic, it's probably like Michael Landon's band.
Why me?
You are intelligent, energetic, and ambitious. We work together. We both benefit.
Oh.
She has a wedding ring. Well, not a wedding ring, but she certainly has a ring on her left ring finger.
But there's no indication that she's part of a couple, so.
Yeah. Oh, well. Except with this guy.
Well, so you do kind of almost wonder if it's going to go down that road with this guy, but we never see that happen.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
They do seem like they're a bit flirtatious.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, definitely. I would expect it, actually. She's like, yeah, I'm going to hang out here and have, like, a few, like, another half a dozen drinks.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, the way that they act with each other, she kind of almost seems like the type, too, who would kind of think she could, like, sleep her way to the top. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this guy kind of approaches her, like, oh, I need someone to, like, you know, do this work for me. And then the whole, like, oh, let's go get some drinks and talk about it. Then it's like, you could kind of see it going down that road where she would be like,
yeah,
you know, just willing to do things like that. Just because she thinks it would help her career.
Yeah. She's like,
come on.
How about another one, bartender?
How about another one? So we're in the dirtiest alley I haven't seen too many alleys in my life, but this is so much litter. I feel like there was so much litter involved that it felt like New York in the 80s, but it's not. It's West Coast. West Coast now. He's like, I don't know. They're both like just basically sharing a small bottle of booze.
An extraordinary vintage. It's a full-bodied flavor and an excellent bouquet.
Tell me something, Maddie. What are you doing here?
I'm having a drink with my friend.
Well, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, what are you doing here in this life? You don't belong here.
I'm here. It's all that counts.
But I get the feeling you don't like this life.
Who does?
Me.
Oh, come on, Humphrey. We're just here. Like
who does?
Who does? Yeah.
Duckhead. Not me. I'm here because I want to be here.
Oh, yeah. You want to be here. You like begging for coins and eating the food out of the trash cans.
It beats working all day inside in a factory.
Actually, I think I'd rather work in the factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. It's...
You have to understand, my mother was a full-blooded Navajo. Uh-huh. I grew up on the reservation. What a place. All the space you'd ever need. So beautiful.
How about you shut up?
That's what I would want to say.
Why did you ever leave that place?
Talking to anybody who's drunk is kind of annoying to me. It immediately gets on my nerves.
Especially that when you're not drunk. It's just like, oh my gosh.
It's like, oh man.
I could no longer look into the faces of my people. Their sadness, their pain. Nobody's got a job. Their sacred lands taken away.
So, yeah, I mean, this guy's got a pretty sad story. I would say Matt...
Well, I mean, he really... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to
cut you off. Go on.
Well, I mean, like, he really kind of is talking about, like, how bad and depressing it is at the reservation, which... And then it's kind of like, you know, their life quality is not very good, and, like, nobody has jobs, and then it's like, that does kind of lend itself to...
Yeah.
To, you know, developing addictions. And also, I was going to say that it... on Dr. Quinn cast, obviously, I mean, like, we go a lot of episodes of Dr. Quinn deal with, you know, the Cheyenne and then, like, the reservations and the various struggles and injustices that are done to Native Americans. So it's just, so this is kind of like the stuff that we are watching on Dr. Quinn and, you know, that is kind of stuff that is, I mean, it's been going on. I mean, I guess was since, you know.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean,
since you know, white people came to America, basically. But I mean, like, the whole kind of like really pushing them off their lands and putting them on reservations is sort of like in the Dr. Quinn era, kind of like a newish thing. Yeah. Whereas this is like 100 years later, you know, and then it's like this is the depressing result.
And, you know, there really is, there are a lot of issues in current reservations. With, you know, with drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And it really, you know, just because you give these people back their land, you know, and say that you can open up casinos and make money, it doesn't change the fact that, you know, now addiction is a part of their culture. And, you know, as much as it is a stereotype, it really is something that is a part of it, unfortunately. And it's really bad. It really is bad. But, you know, it's also good that somebody like Michael Landon is willing to take a character. I mean, when was the last time outside of Dr. Quinn, when you have a representation of a Native American, you don't see it even in today's television, I think. I mean, I don't really watch too much.
Yeah. I don't think it's real. I mean, I don't want to watch a lot of, you know, new shows either, but I don't think it's really common.
Yeah. I don't think so. And it should. It's kind of an underrepresented demographic. Thank you, Michael Landon. And I think that's why this song was written, because people love Michael Landon. And if you could just sit back and enjoy this little tune.
Michael Landon is Jonathan Smith, an angel sent to Earth in order to help people in need. Thank your friends, it's Mark Gordon. Retired policeman who travels with an Hope Smith with a task or assignment to which he is referred. Michael Landon, Michael Landon, Michael Landon, his real name is Eugene. The Ingalls family lives on a farm on Plum Creek near White Crow, Minnesota in the late 19th century. Charles
Maybe we'll put it at the rest of it at the end of the episode. It's really a fun song.
His real name is Eugene.
His real name is Eugene. It's so funny. And there's a funny one at the end. It's like, Eugene Horowitz.
Yeah. Very funny. Good times.
But yeah, we'll put the full version at the very end.
Any money on you still?
So yeah, the smartest mugger in the world is going to go and mug two bums or one bum.
Oh, I don't have a thing. Yeah, so I thought that was so weird too, because I was like, why would you look at these guys and think that anything. They have anything to give you?
I mean, the guy who's mugging them looks far better off.
Mm-hmm. You're lying. Cough it up! Hey, you!
You just hear the punching. It's like... That was Kyle. That's a Dr. Quincast reference. People should go and listen to Dr. Quincast immediately. So yeah, basically.
Well, after we finish this episode, then go listen to it.
Yeah, or at the same time. Let's see. So we're at the police station. We learn in the background that Humphrey was arrested for stealing a bottle of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, right? We don't see it happen. I don't know why we didn't see it. We see the mugging we see a crime that nobody gets in trouble for while a crime that somebody is getting in trouble for is happening. So very strange. Police station. I want that sign.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe the reason why we see the mugging is because Matt is the one who's the assignment, right?
Yeah.
So he's getting mugged. So then Jonathan and Mark are helping him by chasing that guy away.
You think that we could have had an assignment to save the life of Humphrey, but hey.
Well, okay. So that's another thing too. So it's like their assignment is Matt, but then, and part of it, I guess, is the woman who basically gets like, you know, her life goes down the tubes. And then it's like, they could have saved Humphrey. Like he could have been part of the mission too.
Yeah. He had a life ahead of him. Sure.
This actually kind of reminds me of like the Mad Magazine parody that they did for Highway to Heaven, where they call it Highway to Heaving.
I was just thinking about that today. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. And there's a thing in there that's basically to the effect of like, oh, like all this terrible, terrible stuff that's going on in the world, but like screw all of that. Like we're going to help this kid have a good time at camp or, you know.
It's right, like, right. Like it's like a missile crisis going on and all this stuff. But you know what? This kid needs to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So funny.
He requires a bail hearing. And
wait. Felony? For being drunk?
He tried to swipe a bottle of whiskey.
You still got that bottle? He's like, has that been entered into evidence or is that like thrown away in one of these waste baskets?
Yeah, like, can I sample what he stole?
Can I hit it?
We should totally hit it again.
Oh, where is it?
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
What kind of damn fool DA would call...
That
would
have been perfect, actually, when they were sharing the bottle.
When they were drinking it, yeah.
Well, I will use it. I mean, we'll find a new place for it, but still.
Well, a booze, a felony.
This kind of damned fool.
Power suit.
There a problem here.
Or power blazer.
Why do you want to go make a federal case out of some poor bum trying to steal a bottle of liquor?
The man is a thief.
He's a drunk.
In my opinion, that might be worse.
Are you generally trying these kind of cases as felonies?
I try my cases the way I see them.
Who are you? That'd be really funny if she's just like, who are you?
Right. I am the DA.
And I don't need the advice of some Skid Row bums.
That's just messed up. The word bums is an awful word, isn't it? I mean, unless, of course, they're trying to mug me, then they're bums.
Where did it come from? Like,
I did a search and I could not find what the word bum comes from. Like bummer came up and I'm like, bummer is just a slang word as well.
Hmm.
It comes from the Scottish. No, I don't know. It comes from the Greek. All right, so he's being charged with a felony, which is just nuts because it ends up like what he stole was worth less than $3 or cost less than $3. which is, I don't know. I don't think you can just charge somebody for randomly a felony.
Be like, this is a felony.
Right. Like if you jaywalk, all of a sudden you're being, you know, tried for the electric chair or something. So let's see. So we find out that Matthew is an attorney. So he talks to Humphrey, and then Matt talks to Jonathan.
How's Humphrey?
He's going to be okay.
Did he ask you to help him?
I told you that.
Are you going to?
I want a drink.
Are you going to help your friend?
What do you want me to do? Go out and hire some hotshot attorney to defend him? I don't have a cent. I'm a bum, remember?
You're also a lawyer, remember?
Who told you that?
I know a lot of things about you, Manny. I also know the best way to help Humphrey is for you to represent him in court.
He's got the same tone as...
I don't want you ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yeah, it's kind of the same tone going on.
You're very weird, you know that? You're weird, and I'm going to go get a drink.
You make a lousy friend, Maddie. You know what being locked up's going to do to Humphrey? It's going to kill him.
Hey! You think all it takes is to stand up in court and you recite a few laws?
So they yell back and forth a lot.
This is like one of those really like total Michael Landon-y type scenes though, you know, like where he just like starts lecturing it? Somebody.
Yeah. I'll let it play.
I mean, like a lot of episodes in like Highway are like this, but in Little House too, like how many times do we get, you know, Pa kind of like lecturing somebody and kind of like setting them straight.
Yeah. And his voice is quivering.
We'll come back.
Anyway, I would have to be reinstated.
That's already been taken care of.
Ta-da!
I've got a friend who lets you use his law library. You can bunk in with us. We've got an extra bed.
Just two beds? Where's the third bed? I thought you guys said there was an extra bed. There's only two here.
That's pretty funny. Well, we all know. We all know Jonathan and Mark share a bed.
Yeah. That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
That's a new one that I'm squeezing in there. That's Caroline.
What episode is that from?
It is from... Now I'm forgetting. It is... I'm going to tell you right now what it is. Divorce from Walnut Grove Style.
Classic episode.
Yeah. That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
I should have played that after the music. All right. So,
you know, the Ingalls family has gone through a lot. So for her to say something's the most terrible thing she's ever heard.
Yeah, that's when Laura hands her the note that says, my only love, or whatever the name of the song was.
Be my only love.
Love.
The way he sings it is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's going on here? You two guys.
That's funny.
You show up out of the blue. You know all kinds of things about me.
His lips are super chapped. Like, I don't know. It really bugs me. It's like, lick your lips or something, man.
You somehow get me reinstated? I don't know who you are. Or why you're here.
We're here to help you get back on your feet.
Why?
Because it's time you stopped hiding in a bottle, Maddie, and started getting on with living your life.
Maybe this is my life.
Oh, no. No, it isn't. If it was, I wouldn't be here. Now, are you going to help your friend or not?
So he cleans up, and next thing you know, he's in the elevator with What did you call him? Lilla.
Oh, Lillen.
Lillen.
By the way, yeah. Bum, the word bum, mm-hmm. apparently is related to bummer, but derived from the German word bummler, which means loafer, which comes from the word for loaf. Which is probably similar. Connected to unemployed people trying to get bread.
So you're just like, you're sitting around waiting for a loaf, like you're a loafer?
Yeah, I guess. Or like, begging for bread, maybe, kind of, you know? Hmm.
So I wonder what bummer, like, is. But I like the, like, loafer connection.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the elevator with Lilith. And the elevator kind of freezes up for a moment.
We seem to be stuck between floors.
Great. I'm doing court in 15 minutes.
I know. Well, there it goes.
This guy cleans up fairly well.
So bummer.
Yeah.
Is actually an idle, worthless fellow who does no work. Aww. And has no visible means of support, which is like the like what I just said about like being related to the whole like bread thing.
Yeah,
the word bummer implies a low, lazy character.
What a mean thing to say! I'm never going to use the word bum about a person again.
Yeah,
it's pretty awful.
Wait a minute.
They should have made her more hungover looking, I think.
Mm.
You know, she seems like she's a pretty high functional alcoholic.
Yeah, I think that she is. I mean, like, we see her in that one scene, like, she's like drinking at work and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of seems like she is probably just like kind of all the time.
It was the 80s. Come on. Everybody did it.
You're the one who was with Bogart, the other bum. What are you doing here?
I'm Bogart's attorney.
What? What?
What? Sully. In England, we see pardon. Maybe we should clip that from Seinfeld. So we're in court, and we find out that Humphrey is being charged with a felony, which is just, I mean, I think it carries a minimum of 1 year, they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just, it's awful. Like, I just think it also doesn't make sense why they're doing this. Like, by putting this guy in jail, it doesn't clean up the rest of the area. The place is still a dump.
Well, so is the idea just that she'll just be like prosecuting all the homeless people really harshly for,
I don't know.
And I guess eventually they'll like all be in jail or something, which will then have driven them out and then they can their city plan or whatever.
They want a $25,000 bail, which, because I watch so much like true crime stuff, I know that you only have to come up with 10%. You go to like a bail bondsman and they give you the money and you pay. Usually you pay a fee on top of that as well.
Isn't that a little excessive?
Oh, sorry.
Prosecution has requested bail to be in the amount of $25,000.
Isn't that a little excessive, Your Honor? This is hardly a capital offense.
It's a felony.
It was a cheap bottle of wine. If this were a misdemeanor, accused would be released on his own recognizance.
The accused is a drifter with no ties to the
community. Accused has lived continuously in this community for the past 23...
He has no permanent address.
23 years, which is a lot longer than most of the residents who have permanent addresses. And anyway, where does counsel think he's going to run off to?
That'll be quite enough. I'm setting bail at $1,000.
So he has to come up with $100, which I'm sure Jonathan and Mark can, you know, scrape together.
They were just probably paying it on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. We have Lilith having some, I don't know. Is this whiskey? I think it's, I don't know what it is. You're having a tough time if your coffee mug is full of whiskey. And it's not Christmas. I don't know. I don't know why I threw that in, but I think if it's Christmas and you have that one time, it's okay.
I think that a little day drinking here and there never killed anybody.
So I've been out of this. I'm sorry, go.
But I'm like, this is a little different, like in this woman's case, because it's like she's just drinking like all the time that we see her, and she's like, I guess, because this is her office, right? So I guess she's drinking because she's like pissed that she didn't get what she wanted in the case or whatever.
I've been out of like the like formal corporate world for a really long time at this point, like 8 years or 9 years. But when I was, you know, in the office and everything, every single party was wine. Every single, you know, it was like cake and wine, you know. And there would always be, you know, booze and everything. And this isn't just like at the Village Voice where people are also smoking up on the roof. But like at Scholastic, you know, it was basically people getting wasted. A little just too wasted to be at work. And yeah.
Well, I mean, there are some workplaces too that will like keep kegs or like beer in the fridge.
Yeah, those are good ones. Those are cool places.
Well, which I think that like the idea, like the concept of like, okay, so if you have like a drink at work, I mean, like you could have like a drink and do your job, right? I mean, like it's not like my cough is coming back. Sorry.
I guess it depends on what you're doing. Like if you're an airport like engineer or something, maybe.
No, I mean, yeah, right. Like,
no Margarita Monday
or like a surgeon or something, probably not. But like, right. So like the kinds of jobs that would do stuff like that, like we're talking like office jobs. Like, okay, you could have a drink and do your job, right? Like it's not.
Yeah. Like a librarian, I think, can handle.
Yeah.
No offense to librarians or anything like that, but, you know, you're kind of just hanging out anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, just, like, the idea of, like, you know, having a drink or whatever because it's, like, in the office or, like, yeah. I don't know, like, having, like, a drink with lunch or whatever. Like, I don't think that it is, like, altogether condemnable.
No, not at all.
But I do also think that sometimes... Like, so, like, if you work in an office where there's just, like, always booze around and stuff and people are kind of, like, always drinking, I do think that, like, it could maybe set up a scenario where maybe, like, you do overindulge a little bit or maybe you're, like, you end up drinking more than you should.
I've worked with people who certainly overindulged and they've actually had to go home in, like, a car service. It's like, this is...
Wow.
Yeah, like, it's really...
I mean, imagine getting so wasted at work that you can't even... like go home, you know.
Like one of my bosses, I remember like her assistant and I just kind of helped her to the elevator to just basically threw her in a car service and sent her home, called her husband.
Did she come in the next day?
I think it was a Friday, but you know, it was like one of those things, but you know, we just never really brought it up again. Jeez. Chris Hassler knows about these stories. He worked in the same office with all these booze hounds. He was a booze hound. No, I don't know if he was actually a booze hound. The best thing I could say about Chris Hassler is at least once a year, he would dress up as Elvis and be a part of, you know, and get like drunk at some party.
Oh, really? That's funny.
I think I have a photo of him, so I'll dig that up and post it and shame him.
Did he do the Elvis voice while he was dressed as Elvis?
Oh, yeah. Chris Hassler's the guy. He's the dad who has no shame. And he does a good Elvis. You know, he's a big Elvis fan, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Not big enough to be in Third Man Records to have the subscription. But, hey, you know, this episode is brought to you by Third Man Records. I wish. That'd be great. This episode,
we should get a sponsorship from them.
This episode can be purchased on 733 RPM record. 33 and a third RPM record.
It's gonna be the next Vault release.
Right. That'd be kind of incredible. Like just a huge, like it's like 3 inches thick of just records. That's the first episode.
Yeah.
It's $350. Very limited.
Kathleen Reynolds.
What happened in court today?
It was nothing.
That's not what I heard.
It was nothing, I said.
Listen, trying this booze hound as a felon was a great idea, but we've got to maintain the momentum. We can't let anything take it away from us.
I could work in this office. I don't know why I like it, but I like it. It's modern.
It's really cool looking. Yeah.
It was just a bail hearing. It's going to be different when we go to trial.
Counting on that.
Trial. Imagine, like, stealing something for $3 and you're going to trial.
And it's, like, a pretty drawn-out affair, too. It's kind of crazy.
So let's see. Matt shows up. He's like...
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
Where in the devil have you been?
I can see him saying that almost.
Yeah.
It was a Humphrey and I stopped off for a little celebration.
Oh, great.
Oh, God, we really did it, didn't we?
We got old Humphrey out. Right, right. Where is he? Where's Humphrey?
I'll tell you where Humphrey is. He's out stealing alcohol again, but we don't find out how much he stole this time. We just see him getting arrested. It's crazy.
Yeah, and then he's like, and it's so crazy because it's like he just got out on bail, and then he's like already back to stealing it.
And this stuff,
which
happens.
Is pretty sad, but I mean, I guess it's otherwise. It's like you're kind of like you watch that and you're like, okay, that's. Like, how dumb can you be? But then it's also like, well, it's like pretty sad that you're so.
Right. They are completely addicted. Yeah. And I'm going to play the music. I cannot place this as a Little House song, but I believe you. I just don't.
I mean, I thought it sounded like something that was on Little House, but I couldn't place like an episode or a moment in Little House where I heard it, but it just sounded so familiar from it.
I don't know.
Oh, that's me when you're like, what episode is this from? Oh.
Oh.
What?
I don't know.
This is me when you're like, did you send the episode? I don't know. What? I mean, this is kind of funky. You know, like, you hear a guitar in the back.
This part, not so much, but I think more like when they're driving away in the car is when I thought it was kind of funny.
You hear him as like, tell the man I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. He just doesn't seem. And he's got the cop in the back with him.
Don't lock me up! Don't lock me up! Don't lock me up, please!
This part.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely used that passage before, right? The din, 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 din. Yeah.
So it's just like that sounds really familiar from Little House, but I can't place a specific episode or scene off the top of my head.
It'll come back. You'll be watching some tomorrow and be like, this is it.
Yeah, that like always happens too, because then it's like over the weekend I'll just be like binge watching and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the thing I was just talking about.
He was only 12. No, I'm just kidding. I still have not watched that.
It was on Pluto tonight, actually, the Pluto app quit working, and I was like, yeah, that's fine.
No big loss. let's see, Matt is just basically talking about his daddy issues. I'm kind of, you know, being a little bit of a dick here about that, but, like, if you're a grown man, you do have to get over some of this stuff, right? I mean, I think, and... It's tough.
Well, I mean, you do, but I guess
I don't mean the alcoholism. Kind of, you know.
No, yeah, like the like your issues with your parents and stuff. I mean, like you definitely have to get over it. If you don't, it's going to greatly impair your quality of life.
Yeah. So I mean, some
but
people,
then I also kind of sorry, I keep cutting you off.
We're out of sync. So I mean, I think we're kind of. But I was just saying, like. This will happen to people if they don't stand up for themselves. And
right.
You know, I think anyway.
Well, and then I kind of wonder when I just cut you off, what I was going to say was I kind of wonder about like, well, you know, like knowing Michael Landon's own, you know, like really kind of tragic upbringing, you know, like with his bad situations, like especially with his mother and stuff and kind of the abuse that he went through.
And her suicide threats and stuff like that.
And I think that when we talked about that Wally episode before, we kind of brought this up a little bit, but I mean, like maybe this is something that he really kind of feels a connection to, like because of kind of the trauma of his own upbringing and just sort of like, if he had not kind of been able to cope with it at least enough that he could, like, you know,
well, let me ask
go you. On living his life. And then maybe it really, like, become like the acting and stuff. I mean, he makes these really wholesome shows, which, you know, probably was really actually kind of cathartic for him.
Did Michael Landon grow up with any, like, financial issues? Do you know? Like, I'm not really sure if his family was just, like, regular, like, you know, or maybe impoverished. I'm not really sure.
Well, I'm not really totally sure about the finances, I guess. Like in that episode, but there's that movie that, that's sort of like kind of semi-autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it's portrayed, that just kind of seems like, you know, kind of like maybe like average, but you know, kind of like working class, but like, yeah, you know, not like rich, but not like poor.
Yeah. Just
if like that's normal. Sort of like, you know, like a depiction of kind of how his upbringing was. But what I had learned kind of recently, I guess, like kind of around the time we were starting this podcast, just with some stuff that I was looking up and reading. So like when they, was it New Jersey or New York that they were from?
New York. I want to say it was Kew Gardens even.
But then like when they, so that's like where he grew up. He had a sister.
Oh, right.
Who wanted to be an actress. So then the family moved to California because the sister wanted to get into acting. And then he worked at a gas station, and that's when an agent discovered him. And then he was all like, you should be acting. And then that's how he got into it. Which seems like such a, like, one of those things where it's like you just were, like, doing your thing,
yeah,
like pumping gas, and you get, like, discovered by this agent, and it's like, what a lucky break. You, like, could not have stumbled any harder, you know, without trying into that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Whereas, like, his sister, who, like, they moved there so she could be an actress, and I've, like, been, I found like a movie that she was in and she was like maybe not even credited or something like that. I don't know. So I was like, she actually like wanted to be an actress and it obviously really didn't pan out that great.
Which is weird because
and then
like,
he just is like kind of doing like a normal job and then he ends up, you know, becoming this really famous actor, TV producer.
And that's and then, it. Like there was no, I mean, I think that's kind of weird, you know, like that he never, they, for all we know, he did reach out to her and she's just like, I don't want to be on your stupid Little House in the Prairie show. You know, we don't know.
Well, I do kind of wonder like how much like bitterness or like envy would there be, you know, like from his sister kind of.
Well, I know that, I know he wasn't related to Hop Sing, for instance, but I kind of wondered why Hop Sing didn't pop onto Little House when he was having so many financial issues. You know, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But then kind of like to finish, like come full circle with the thought that I was having. So kind of in, cause he has numerous episodes of In Highway where he's kind of taking this really sympathetic view of homeless people and kind of the circumstances and kind of like, this could happen to you kind of thing. And it's like maybe with his own, like, you know, really bad upbringing. And then he basically like, accidentally becomes like this famous actor, you know, but it's like if his circumstances had been different, if he hadn't just been discovered like that, like where would his life have ended up?
Right. He like fell ass backwards into something, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, maybe like this is just really like kind of the sympathy that he shows for things like this maybe could be rooted, you know, like in his own life and just like, wow, I got a really lucky break. But if that hadn't happened, like, I mean, my life could be terrible.
But, you know, Michael Landon also, I mean, I get this Landon Nation. This is the right place to talk about it. Michael Landon has actually made the careers for so many people who were nobodies, right? Just complete nobodies. And, you know, whether that person is Karen Grassley, you know, who nobody would even likely know what her name is today. If it weren't for Michael Landon's production. And I would say for the most part, everybody he's brought to the table, he's given them careers. You know, he doesn't seem like he works with too many people who are already established.
Yeah, that's true.
So he actually builds careers. And we're next.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Matt is sitting there and he's basically telling the story. We kind of just told the whole thing. He kind of looks like an actor, and I can't place it all of a sudden.
I kind of thought he looked vaguely familiar as well.
It's going to kill me. All right. It'll come to me, maybe. So, he's basically trying to do a little pity party to Mark, and they're kind of yelling at each other.
I know exactly what you're going through. What do you think? You're the only recovering drunk?
You?
Yeah, me. Look, you are going to get through this. You're going to get through it, and we're going to be right there with you.
So, you know, that's Mark's big line in the whole episode. He really doesn't do that much. A bunch of times recently.
Yeah,
we didn't do too many episodes with him as being a big part of it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it. But I'm just thinking about his, like, because I know the pilot, we see him and he's like, you know, really like chugging down the beers and stuff. He starts working with Jonathan. I guess that's around the time he cleaned up. But he does occasionally have the relapse, like in that episode where he's staying at that like boarding house.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets really drunk because he was upset when that girl was killed in the accident. And then he starts the fire.
Hold on once. We're back after a tiny little intermission there. I'm just going to play this and get it, see where we are.
Maddie, in case I don't get out of here, I want you to promise me something.
Hey, don't talk like that, Humphrey. We're going to win this.
Listen to me. You know where I mostly sleep nights?
Yeah, that loading dock over on Front Street.
Right. In the bottom slot of the dumpster, you'll find a leather pouch. In the pouch, there's a stone bear and a small bag of pollen. I want you to send it to my uncle. That way he'll do a blessing way sing.
A blessing way?
For my spirit. And another thing. Promise me you'll stay out of the gutter. You don't belong there.
This guy's got a pretty good voice, too. He's kind of like clap
dancing
that way.
I know, I was just going to say that. I think his voice is really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Humphrey. Nothing's going
to
happen.
You have to promise. All of it.
Now, I don't know exactly how jail works, but if he's in jail, how is he wearing his own clothes? Wouldn't he be in, like, a jumpsuit?
I would think so.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
I mean, I still think this is the most insane premise. I mean, he stole something that ended up being $2 and, what, 85 cents?
Yeah.
Let's see, we go out to dinner at Sizzler or something like that, Beefsteak Charlie's.
Ponderosa.
Yeah, Ponderosa. Yeah, there you go. Ponderosa restaurant. Michael Landon gets a discount, so, you know, he always brings the whole family. They notice that, that I'm just going to keep calling her Lilith, is, on the other side of the restaurant.
Right now.
I'm surprised Mark didn't get up as he got up, just, you know, out of respect.
Good evening.
It wasn't until now.
Oh, come Ouch. On. Just because we sit at opposite tables in the courtroom doesn't mean we have to continue the practice on the outside.
It's like, who are you again?
I know, I was just going to say, it's still so weird how involved, he's involved to the point that this DA, like, knows him and, like, recognizes him from the court and stuff. It's so weird.
Totally.
What do you mean?
I thought you'd like to join us.
I'm meeting someone.
Councilman Peterson.
That's my business.
Certainly. You know, you might want to ask the councilman about all that property he's been quietly buying up at depressed prices in the Skid Row area.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sure you don't, but Councilman Peterson does. Now he's pressuring the city council to clean up the area so we can sell out at a nice profit.
He is. You know, the people talking in the background, it's insane. It's like, when this comes out, you have to listen to it. It's just like people just ongoing talking. It's
quite a humanitarian, isn't it? Enjoy your evening.
That is pretty crazy.
I think one person said, I think I'm going to try the pasta. <I'm> pretty sure. I mean, maybe. I mean, so let's see. We're in court the next day. We're talking to the liquor store employee or owner.
This is the bottle of wine that Mr. Bogart was supposed to have stolen.
He was trying to Bogart.
Yeah, that's the one he took. That's my mark right there.
Tell me, how do you know how much a bottle of wine like this costs?
There's a price tag on it. You see, it says $285.
Where's the two?
Well, the two is kind of faint, but I know my stock and...
But you're not the one buying it. Isn't it entirely possible that Mr. Bogart only read the 85 cents and then put 90 cents on the counter and told you to keep the change?
Oh! Objection, Your Honor. Calls for a conclusion on the part of the witness.
I have no further questions.
Ouch. He really gave it to him.
Mic drop.
Exactly. He cracks open the wine. He starts guzzling it right there in court.
Offers it to the judge.
Yeah. He like basically grabs the microphone and he's like,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
So they unfortunately tell they take Humphrey back to the holding cell.
I'm trying to, Your Honor.
No.
He's all bugging out.
Hey, you don't understand. I can't go back in there. Manny, help!
He really doesn't want to go in there. I mean, nobody wants to go to jail, but like, what's he like? What's going on?
Well, he said earlier that he had like a problem with being in tight spaces.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess I just, you know. Yeah, I guess maybe that's just it. Let's see. Jonathan shows up at this really cozy apartment that looks like something that maybe Frasier would have lived in at some point with Lilith.
Yeah, sure. Why not? He's like in the background.
Well, it's very cold and, you know, modern.
Miss Reynolds?
What are you doing here?
I wonder if I could talk to you for a few minutes.
What the hell is she wearing? It's crazy.
It is a really weird outfit.
It's like one of these whole outfits with the big tall belt. You know, like it's a very, very 80s look.
Through it all already with your friend, the Skid Row lawyer.
Isn't a man's life worth a few minutes? Thank you.
It's like a Wonder Woman outfit or something.
I'd offer you a drink, but you're not going to be here that long.
It says it's 10 to 9.
So where's the...
Right? Yeah, it's like 10 minutes to 9 p.m.
Vagrant's answer to Perry Mason tonight.
They went down to the jail to see Humphrey again.
Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
Don't you keep flowers on top of the refrigerator like that?
Always.
I wanted to ask you one.
Why, where do you keep them? On the table? Yeah.
No time to drop the
filling charge. I told you I've been through all that.
Miss Reynolds, if you just listen.
No, you listen to me. My job is to make this town a better place to live in by getting the criminals off the streets.
Humphrey's not a criminal. He's a sick man who needs help.
So they just, I mean, actually, he doesn't more like a Michael Landon type of speech here. So should I play it through? I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that this is probably kind of important. Well, with the ending on, important to kind of point out, you know, her.
We have to reenact the ending.
And stiffer penalties are the only way. We're going to clean up this town, Smith.
Oh, you bet you are. By frightening the homeless into moving somewhere else, out of sight, out of mind. Let somebody else worry about it.
Your few minutes are up. You can show yourself the door.
Bye.
Did you ever see someone lying on the sidewalk and wonder how he got there?
Funny, it's still 10 to 9. It's like 5 minutes later.
He wasn't born that way. He was a crying infant just like you and me. Was he abused? Were his parents alcoholics? What happened to him?
I told you, your time is up. I'm not going to spend the evening discussing a drunk.
Even though it's very dated, these glasses are kind of cool. Mm-hmm. With like that chrome top, which is probably totally toxic.
How many drinks have you had today, Miss Reynolds?
No,
Not that one. You're not going to compare me to Humphrey.
I don't know. Of course not. You can afford to pay for your scotch.
Oh, what is that painting in the background? So I took a screenshot of it.
That is really weird.
It almost looks like a guy holding like a monkey or something. I don't know what that thing is.
But yeah, so really like the whole, well, so charging a guy with a felony for like a $2.85 bottle of wine, which is crazy. And then it's like, as he points out, I mean, that really is like the difference between them is that like she, because she's employed, she can pay for the booze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is a functional enough alcoholic that she is able to kind of keep up appearances in that respect. But
yeah, I mean, it's like drug addicts who are like famous, you know, and they're like crackheads or something, get away with it because they have the attorneys to get them off and stuff like that. But if it was you and me, you know, well, we're kind of famous. So, I mean, we wouldn't be really in much trouble.
I like to think that our Patreon supporters will come through for us.
Come down to the jail. Hey guys, this is just a really big exclusive. We're going to do a live watch party from the county jail. Kelly got sent down to solitary for mouthing off, and and I become this 7'1" man's bitch. That's what I become. We're afraid, and we need you to come and get us. She leads a kind of a lonely life, still 10 tonight. She has to change the battery in that thing. All right, so we're in court. Again. Aren't they sitting kind of close to each other? I always feel like in court.
I mean, they almost look like they're at the same table from this angle, which is really weird.
Yeah, so the judge takes everyone aside and brings them to the back room.
They kind of match, too. Look at that. They're wearing, like, his vest is the same color as her dress.
Mm. She's like, I've read all these books.
So I think that the most ultimate Highway to Heaven, like, mission, actually, would be to get these two hooked up.
I mean, I didn't know what to expect.
And that's why they match right now.
But what if they got hooked up? Yeah, right. What if they hooked up, but they were both, like, alcoholics, you know? At least you're happy.
Well, they get reformed of their drinking, and then they're hooked up, and then they together go on like a crusade on behalf of the homeless.
There you go. This woman has the longest fingers I've ever seen. Almost serpent-like.
I have some terrible news. The defendant, Mr. Bogart, he hung himself this morning.
He does, like, the Home Alone thing. But it's terrible news, you know?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, even Lilith looks, like, a little bit sad about it.
Yeah, like, this sucks. Like, you know, kind of, like, guilty even, because he, you know, he killed himself because of the stress of putting him into jail and over a $3 theft. And it wasn't even a theft. I mean, I think he actually made such a compelling argument.
I mean, I do remember watching this the first time and being surprised that the guy had committed suicide. And it's very, very sad. And I mean, he had made a really big deal about how he didn't want to go to jail and had the thing with small spaces. But I did think that, I mean, it's really extreme that he hung himself when, I mean, the trial wasn't even concluded yet. I mean, like, there was maybe still a chance that, you know,
yeah, I mean, he would have ended this whole episode out. Is very strange in that sense, where everything is taken to the extreme. And also, I have to say, this is probably the most times I've seen somebody sober up and relapse in an episode of anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, this guy gets wasted. I mean, he's really not sobering up much.
This guy gets wasted more than Albert when he's on morphine.
That's a lot. So he goes to get the pouch. That the guy's.
We
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
So it's like some crazy, like some necklace of some sort. I don't know exactly. We don't get a good shot of what he's actually opening up. But these two guys show up.
You mean the hell?
Whoops.
Nobody.
He's killing that bottle.
That's all that's left. And nobody cares. Nobody.
Oh, this is where we get the Michael Landon, who's like, he, you know, he's basically, this whole episode was made just for this speech coming up.
Yeah, like this scene, like he wanted this scene to really just like set this guy straight kind of thing.
Including you.
Oh, why don't you two guys just leave me alone, huh?
You're not alone, Matthew. You got everything you need. Your self-pity. I mean, to hell with Bogart, right?
What do you mean, the hell with Bogart? He's dead. What more can I do for him?
You could keep your promise, for one thing. You promised him you wouldn't wind up back in the gutter.
Yeah. I also promised him that everything would turn out all right. And he's dead. Damn it. He's dead.
Now, one thing I'm really surprised. So sometimes, I don't know if they do this with Highway to Heaven, but sometimes when you're talking about something that has to do with religion, right? You, when somebody says, damn it, to just convey how mad they are, they'll do like a God damn it, you know, or GD, you know, it's like, you know, it's one of those things. Because, you know, like, that's a pretty, for a lot of people, that's a really big deal to say that. And it's usually said in a moment of, like, hopelessness. And I don't know. I almost feel like if he did that, that would be, like, the trigger for Michael Landon or, you know, Jonathan to step forward and start yelling at him or something. I don't know.
That's right, he's dead. Humphrey's dead and nobody cares. But you care. And you have the ability to make other people care. Not just about Humphrey, but all the other Humphreys that are lying in alleys in the city.
I'm just a broken down lawyer. Who's gonna hear my voice?
Nobody, unless you raise it. Raise it to the rooftops. Make people listen. Make them hear what they don't want to hear. Make them face what's happening to people all over this country.
I can't.
You can. Matthew, you can. Humphrey was right. You don't belong down here. Look, God knows, neither does anybody else, but they can't get out without help. You can. You got the skills. You've had the opportunities they never had. You can make a difference. How did you feel about Humphrey? How did you feel about him?
I loved him.
He does say it.
I loved him.
Say?
Yeah. I said it in a squeakier voice.
I loved him.
He was my friend.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah, so they're more than friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And make sure.
Then he's
this...
like, so how do you feel about Mark?
How about you shut up?
Isn't all that's left of Humphrey Bogart?
Humphrey Bogart, the actor?
Will you make people remember? Make them remember that he was here.
He's like, okay. right, I'll do it. I'll be the hero. So let's see, the Senate, what's his role again? I forget.
Councilman.
Yeah, councilman is basically proposing his idea to the public. Now, my area has like some sketchy stuff going on. We have actually a number of golf courses in my immediate area, and one of them was sold to some developer, and they want to build like something like 250 developments in an area that's already crazy, like not overpopulated, but throwing in 250 new families is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do it. So they try to do these type of meetings, but they don't schedule them publicly. They just have them. But it's one of the few things that I'm like really invested in. And I find out whenever they are, and I get a bunch of people to go. So I'm like all these homeless people where I'm like, get together like 20 people to go and like basically talk about.
Like storm down the place.
Yeah, because it's like they make, these are like sketchy people. You know, all this kind of stuff really happens, and it really is they're trying to do it like right now. And like they come up with like fake surveys of, like, we did, like, you know, a road survey, and it'll only increase, you know, the amount of cars by this much. And it's like, none of it makes sense. So I'm like these homeless people.
It can be a model for other areas of this great city. But it is up to us to lead the way.
I also hate golf courses. So, I mean, you know, that's. Yeah, I mean, I guess leave it the way it is kind of terrible because it's all this property. But, you know, I'm like, why can't it be a conservatory or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We are now open to a public debate.
This guy, where they dig up this old fossil? He looks like he looks like he should be in a horror movie or something. So the debate is all these guys coming in.
We have order, please! I insist upon having order!
My name is Matthew Kane. I represent the street people of this district.
Now, street people is a term I've never heard of before.
Street people?
I mean, these people are experiencing homelessness, is what I think the modern term would be.
You not only represent them, but you are one of them. Is that not true, Mr. Kane?
Chuckle, chuckle. Like you're in front, like you're supposed to be selling this, you know, and it's like instead you're just trying to like put the person down.
What does one of them mean, Mr. Peterson?
I think you know.
I know what you mean by it. The poor, the mentally ill, the great unwashed. To me, it means American citizens living in your district who need help.
You cannot help people who do not help themselves, Mr. Kane.
I agree. But first you gotta let them know that somebody cares, that they do mean something, that they have value.
We have tried, Mr. Kane.
So this kind of goes back in kind of this dry kind of way. I don't think they would have a debate like this so open. But he starts yelling them down. Matt calls him out for some like shady real estate deal that he's trying to push through. And then they get into their chanting, you know.
Project.
Who do you think you are to accuse me in this fashion?
I'm one of the people you work for. How many parcels of land have you bought up, Councilman, in your various partnerships?
I will not stand here and be insulted anymore.
Okay, you can run out of here.
Bye.
Thank you, Councilman, but we will be heard.
You don't say goodbye?
If we have to shout it from the rooftops, we will be heard.
Bunch of podcasters.
It would have been awesome if one of them were Dick Van Dyke.
We will be heard!
That would be super classic.
We
This guy's like really into it. He thinks it's like a Metallica concert or something.
Yeah, look at that mullet.
Yeah, he loves it. So he's like, I got my movement happening. So here we are in, we see a bottle of whiskey or something, right? It's kind of weird. All right, let's turn you down. So yeah, I thought that this was kind of weird. Like, wouldn't they clean that up?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cromartie. Is that a real alcohol?
Hello?
Kathleen Reynolds, please.
She's no longer here.
Oh, where is she? This is Councilman Peterson calling.
Oh, Councilman, I'm sorry. I don't know. She quit today.
No, you can quit.
Quit?
Yes, sir. She came in, quit, and left. She didn't even bother taking anything with her.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's see. Cromartie is it's a real thing. It's a real whiskey. But look at this jug it comes in. I'm going to bring it to you. Whoops. It's kind of cool, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, it'd be classy if she was drinking out of those, you know.
Right.
I just collect the bottles, so I just, you know, have to get rid of the booze. That's how she got into all this. So this is how this particular episode ends. We get the Bogart house, which is now probably a... a Starbucks or a Staples or something like
that. Yeah. But yeah, so like that, so that is just like, oh yay, Bogart House, like 3 months later, helping homeless people.
Yeah.
Would not be forgotten.
Oh, wait.
Matthew Kane had raised his voice and been heard. And a Native American, Humphrey Bogart, would not be forgotten.
Look, they even have room for it. They freeze frame this. And that's it. That's
So that's so weird because then the full episode, then Jonathan and Mark get in the car and drive away, and then you see Miss Reynolds like standing on the street, and she is homeless now. So she like quit her job. I mean, so that's the thing where it's like they really could have kind of had a more complete mission with her, where she obviously is really affected by what happened with Humphrey, and then she quits her job. And I mean, like, that would be, I'm sure, like, I mean, an immense amount of guilt, right? And like, how would you deal with that?
Why would they cut
like
that
having
out?
Been involved in like a thing that makes that happen?
I don't know why they would cut that out.
But it's just so crazy because I'm like, but that is like the meaning of the episode, is like how the tables have turned, you know?
Like, do they think it was too dark or something?
I don't know. I can't believe they cut it out. It's crazy.
Somebody had to consciously make this decision. I don't know. I think it's a very strange decision to have made.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's just weird. I mean, there's so many times in Little House, like if you didn't get the like last little moment, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
I don't know. Somebody screwed up there. Like, I think somebody made a very poor decision. And now I have to wonder, I have to question all of these episodes, because what if, you know, there are other things missing?
Yeah. And I mean, this is the first time that it was really noticeable to me. And it was noticeable because that, I think, is a really, like, standout ending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really impactful when you learn that she becomes homeless.
Yeah, I think
so that's why it was really obvious to me that it was missing. And I was like, I rewound it like 3 times. I was like, what happened? Like, where's the woman?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a Mandela effect or something, but except we actually have evidence it does exist.
Yeah, well, I actually had thought of that because I was like, did I just like make this up? Like,
you think you're going nuts?
She became homeless.
Yeah, like that's when you said it, I was like, first thing I thought is like, oh, that would make for a very good ending if it was real.
Yeah, you just like instantly think I'm making it up.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, we normally do that. But then you had a, like a screenshot of it. So I was like, huh, not crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I really wish that the version was so available. I think it's silly.
But it was really silly.
But nevertheless, Kelly, thank you so much for meeting up and doing this episode tonight. Thought it was a lot of fun. And people should head over to LandedNation.com or Landed Nation Facebook group and come and see what everything is all about. We also have other podcasts, Dr. Queencast. I have one Walnut Grove cast where Kelly's on it a bunch of times. And and a lot of fun stuff. Too much fun, almost, some might say. But yeah, thank you so much. And I look forward to doing the next one.
As do I.
Yeah. Bye.